It's a podcast.
You're listening to it.
And it's late.
Sorry, it's Monday and it's a little late in the day, but it was a glorious week.
And a glorious weekend. So don't worry, it's the middle of the day, it's 137 degrees outside, right. And we're drinking cocktails.
Cheers.
Cheers.
We're drinking On the Rocks cocktails. Mm-hmm. The lemon drop. Mm-hmm.
Delightful. Anyways, if you're wondering what the fuck you're listening to, we have a podcast where we get drunk, and then we tell you stories about times we did stuff when we were drunk.
And Mormon-ish. Baptized Mormon, if that counts.
Oh yeah, we did grow up Mormon.
And, you know, we bitch about politics and tell you all the funny things that we did while we were drunk, or not drunk, or sometimes just stupid. You know, you're welcome. Things to amuse you.
Yeah, like that time we laid on top of a metal roof in a lightning storm holding hands to watch the lightning.
Because we're really smart. Or the time that we were on a cell phone in the water in a lake in a lightning storm.
There's a lot of lightning stories. So yeah, anyways, cheers.
Cheers.
And I have dropped the ball on this, but I'm very late in giving a huge mega shout out to our new patron, Susan.
Susan, our super awesome fan, who happens to be a friend of mine.
Thank you, Susan, for becoming a patron. I missed it. I missed the notification.
I have to say, it's fun sometimes when I get in her car, she's listening to our podcast. I'm like, oh, that's cool.
So thanks, Susan. Thanks for supporting
us. Thanks for the support. You're rad.
You're fucking cool.
We repent already for being late.
Actually, I have quite a few things to repent for. I don't have enough room on the sheet to write all the things that I need to repent for. But, so last week, if you listened to last week's episode, we told you a story about the time that I, Mandy, got a tattoo at 15 years old. And one of my friends, Cherie, actually sent me a message. And she was like, I totally know that guy who gave you a tattoo. His name was Tattoo Bill, and that's what everyone called him. And I was like, oh my God, that's right. So I apologize for getting forgetting Tattoo Bill's name. She also told me that one of her ex-boyfriends at the time had also gotten a tattoo from him. He was collecting camel cash from everybody for tattoos.
Not just you.
Not just me. And she said that her boyfriend got a tattoo from Tattoo Bill at the laundromat on Fifth North.
Wow.
In Logan.
Wow, that's something. Although I have to say, it's appropriate that his name is Bill, because when you were telling me this story about this perv giving you a tattoo because he said he'd do it for free if she went topless and she was 15 years old, is that I envisioned you in a basement much like Buffalo Bill's basement from Silence of the Lambs. So I feel like that's just appropriate.
Yeah, Tattoo Bill. And, you know, one thing I also forgot to mention, which is, in my opinion, a crucial part of the story, is that when I was 15, I got this tattoo on my chest, like right above my boob area. And I don't know about, you know, other ladies in the world, but my boobs have gotten a lot bigger since I was 15 years old. So those lines just broke apart and it was a huge mess. And there's a reason you should be 18 years old before you get a tattoo. Right. Not just because of your judgment, because your body changes.
Right.
And it will get fucked up.
To be fair, even at 18, that's probably still too young. 30. Once you're 30, you should be able to get a tattoo, because then everything kind of stays in place.
That's true. That is true. Anyway, so I repent. I left out some key details last week. So.
Nice.
Yeah. That's all I got.
Okay, so Mormon Corner this month. I was like, you know, I was looking through this illustrated stories from the Book of Mormon, and though it's funny, I can't really make a story out of it or anything, so I made the mistake of going onto Twitter. Well, a mistake, or just everybody should know about it, so maybe not a mistake, but it was depressing nonetheless, and just put Mormon in. Well, apparently the Associated Press on the 8th of this month released a story where they had obtained 12,000 pages of records showing that there's a helpline run by the Mormon Church that where bishops would call if one of their people, I don't know what you call them, practitioners.
In their wards or whatever.
Yeah, the people in the ward had admitted to them something that they couldn't deal with. So they have this helpline. The helpline pretty much gets a lawyer that's paid by the Mormon Church to contact them. And so there's been a lot of abused children sexually from their parents. And these bishops tell them, oh, don't do anything, but don't contact law enforcement. You know, and so nobody reports it, and these children go on to be abused. And there's one specifically about a Border Patrol agent in Arizona who was raping his young daughter and then moving on to an infant child of his, and filmed it. And then the only reason he got caught was because somebody in New Zealand had bought it or whatever, and that person got caught, and they were able to trace it back. But it's really, really fucked up.
That seems like the kind of thing that you wouldn't admit to anyone. Like, that wouldn't... It doesn't seem like somebody would feel sorry for doing that and go and report it to their bishop.
Well,
like,
I think...
You know what I mean? It just seems like what a monster you would have to be.
But apparently this happens a lot. Because not just the Mormons. We watched that whole documentary on the Christian one of that priest who was raping children. Like, 16-month-old children.
Yeah.
And, like, instead of going to jail, like... They're like, oh, we're going to go put him in a monastery or whatever where he won't be around other people. But just moved him 60 miles away to a different parish
That's
or whatever.
True.
So it's just like, organized religion, man, it's just full of fucking rapists and people who not condone, but perpetuate more child abuse. Yeah, and they don't do anything about it because their God allows it. I have no idea, like... Why they're just like,
Christ.
Oh, God will take care of it later. Or they tell them that they encourage them to turn themselves in. But, of course, they're not going to do that. Anyways, it was really fucked up. And then it made me go on to read about this organization called OUR. So it's like an underground railroad thing. So it's a Mormon man. They went over to Guadalajara or something like that. Anyways, so this vigilante guy... who says he's been called on by God, went over to the Dominican Republic and pretty much was going to save children. They set up this whole meeting to buy, you know, to see these 26 children, and they set up this whole raid thing, right? On the surface, it actually kind of sounds like, oh, you know, he's taking it into his own hands.
He's saving
and saving
them from
the,
what?
Trafficking.
Oh,
sex trafficking.
Okay.
Right? But if anything, so on the surface, it sounds like, oh, he's doing this thing. He's bringing these traffickers down. But really, when you get into the meat of it, he created a need for it. You know, even though they didn't do anything wrong to the children, but like, they're like, oh, here, let's get more children, right? And then these people got arrested, but they're just the surface level. There's people higher up than them that they're not getting, right? And then at the end of the day, those 26 children could not be taken care of. They were released within a week back onto the streets. So it's just like, there's a reason why, you know, there's no immediate gratification when it comes to this, to like getting things like sex trafficking. Or it actually, while I was reading it, just reminded me of this whole Trump thing where like people want immediate satisfaction and answers. And sometimes you have to go through the motions so that it's done properly so you can prove, you know, what needs to be proven or get the people who need to be gone. I don't know if that makes sense, but I was just reading and I was like, and of course now the Mormon church, you know, at being appalled, you know, all the Mormon people are like, oh, appalled that this happened. I think that it's ridiculous that like every single Mormon apologist that they've seen in the last couple days are mad at the way that the AP article framed the church and not at the actual content that it exposed.
Right.
It's beyond disappointing and disgusting.
That is super fucked up.
Right?
You never really, at least I never really hear much about that from the Mormon religion.
They're really good about covering that shit up, I think. And again, they don't talk about it, right?
Right.
Because if it paints it in a bad light, they don't want people to know about it. Because they're already an iffy church to begin with the polygamy and everything else. Underage brides and shit. So they try to keep that shit as quiet as possible because it's more important for them to have this perception of being a, you know, wholesome church than it would be to say, oh, here's some more shit that we did wrong, and you know, but again, you're covering it up, so you're clearly an asshole. But somebody had written on Twitter that I liked, that says, another terribly ironic thing about this whole situation is the entire Book of Mormon narrative is warning against prioritizing pride, power, self-interest, and anything else over human life. And then, how do we have all the answers to the test and still do so poorly?
That's good, actually.
Right?
Well, when you have billions of dollars, you know, you can afford the very best lawyers and press, and you can buy whatever you want. Right. How much is the church worth?
Oh, God, a lot. I will say this, though, that the two girls, I don't know if it's two girls or if it's the older daughter in that situation, her mom, I think she got a 2-year sentence for, not negligence, but some. Should have read that more. but the daughter's suing the church and the bishops and all of that. And the church, of course, going, no, they didn't do anything legally wrong. They've said that multiple times in this video. They didn't legally do anything wrong. Just morally wrong, but not legally. So I don't understand why she's suing the church.
Wow. Just in case anyone's curious, the Mormon Church, or the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, as they prefer to be called, in 2020 managed about $100 billion in assets. $100 billion. $1,000 billion. What's the analogy again, Charlotte?
So, for those who don't know the difference between a million and a million seconds is a week and a half. A billion seconds is 32 years. And they have how many billions?
100 billion.
100 billion. No one needs that kind of money. Why are people still paying tithing? They shouldn't need tithing at all at this fucking point.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy. Well, next week we'll do something light, more lighthearted, like magic underwear.
Right.
I have some cool shit.
Yeah.
Apparently, this is breaking news, Rudy Giuliani is on track to be indicted by Georgia prosecutors for interfering in the election.
Yes.
This is according to NBC News, so it's legit.
Oh, that's awesome. That right? is cool.
Super cool. Somebody should fucking grab his passports real quick.
Right?
His three passports or however many passports these fucking assholes have. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, that they took all three of his passports.
Of Trump's passports.
One of them was expired, but were they both the other ones from the United States? I did read that a president does get like a diplomatic passport, but they have to give that back once they're no longer president. So who knows?
Oh, maybe that's
what
that
is. Or is it from a different country? I don't know.
Yeah, so apparently, yeah, we're a little late to the game. Yeah, we missed some stuff. Our dad was visiting.
He was awesome.
We were out doing fun stuff, having the time of our lives. Apparently some shit went down at the Mar-a-Lago golf course.
It's been a really good week. So apparently there's a bunch of Trump supporters outside Mar-a-Lago kind of not protesting him, but like trying to rally him, I guess. Who knows what exactly it is. They're in support of him, we'll just say that. And people at Mar-a-Lago won't let them in to use the restrooms. Like, can you imagine? Like, if that doesn't just explain like Trump's base, then I don't know what else would. Like,
totally.
It's just like, all trying to support a man who you think cares about you but won't even let you use the bathroom while you're out there supporting him.
Absolutely.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's sad that people who could never afford a membership or be allowed to enter Trump's club are protesting in front of it at his sake.
Yeah, this is crazy. I think this should be classified under cool shit, this whole raid.
It's called a legal search. Because when you have a search warrant, it's not really... What's the difference between a raid and just having a search warrant?
I don't think there is one if it's a no-knock warrant. Right. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't be the one commenting on that. But, yeah, it's a legally executed no-knock search warrant. I'm reading a tweet. Like I said, we're just catching up, so we're a little late to the game. But I'm reading a tweet from Fox News yesterday that you had commented on where some guy is saying, like, this is one of the darkest days in U.S. history. The Constitution's been trampled on. The Fourth Amendment ignored. It's not about the rule of law. It's about political power from the extreme left. It's like, you say that, but you can't just... I should say it this way. I was going to say, you can't just make up rules and do whatever the fuck you want. Except for you can if you're a Republican. But
right.
That's not how the left does it.
Right.
The left follows the fucking rules.
Also, they're talking about politicizing the FBI. An FBI director who's a lifelong Republican appointed by Trump. And also the judge who signed off on the warrant, who's a Trump-appointed judge. Like, fuck off.
Exactly. Exactly. Anyway, so I'm pretty stoked about that. Can't wait to see how that's going to play out over
right?
the next week.
It's going to be just lovely.
I've got some catching up to do on the news because, you know, I've been doing other cool shit. Like, I got to go see a Coheed and Cambria show for the first time, which I only went to because Alkaline Trio was opening. Otherwise, I never would have gone. And it was amazing. I'm a new lifelong fan of that band.
Nice, nice. We also saw, I was going to say this would be under This Motherfucker, but we went and saw the Beach Boys. I won tickets on KLOS, which we may have mentioned last week.
And now, the week before.
What I didn't realize, though, is that the Beach Boys are split into two camps. There is the Brian Wilson Beach Boy, which I guess he doesn't have the legal right to use Beach Boys for some reason, even though he's the one who wrote all the music. Everything on Pet Sounds was pretty much written by that dude. But because he's had legal issues and, you know, being taken advantage of by his manager, we wouldn't watch the movie Love and Mercy afterwards. Like, that guy's been through some shit. So there's him, who's more leaning liberal Democrat. And then there's his cousin, Mike Love, who was also in the band, you know. And he was able to obtain the name The Beach Boys and I think a lot of the rights to it. But he's the type of person who, he had a Beach Boys fundraiser for MAGA in Newport Beach. And Brian Wilson had to release a report saying, I have nothing to do with this. I am not supporting Trump in any way, shape, or form. So him and Al Jardine go out and tour as Brian Wilson's band. And then Mike Love gets to tour as the Beach Boys. And that motherfucker.
Yeah, that was disappointing.
Like, at first I was kind of like, oh, this is kind of fun or whatever.
Surfing USA.
Yeah, and then he stops and says, now this is a band that made, or this is a song that is maybe an unpopular choice. I don't know.
Unpopular opinion or controversial.
Controversial opinion, but it is a gender specific song. And he's like, it's California Girls because it's for a girl, right? And everybody's like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, ew, gross. Yeah. And ever since he said that, I was like weary of that shit. I'm like, I'm getting some serious fucking MAGA vibes from, actually QAnon vibes from it. And sure as shit, we Googled it later. That guy sucks. And I'll just say this. It was a fun show for the most part.
The Greek theater was awesome.
Always amazing. John Stamos does not age a day. But it, so... this is like seeing a cover band of famous people kind of a thing. So, yeah. Like, there's one guy who could hit all of the, like, Carl Wilson notes, like that super high thing. He, without him, it would have been just
a
awful.
Shit show. And yeah, then he was really good. Brian, oh, dang it, what was his name? Brian
Eikenbarrow?
You talk, I'll look it
okay.
up.
But really what it was is, it was this old man wearing his hat, you know, just standing in place being, he's 80, so he's old, but he's relying on the popularity, not even popularity, on the celebrity of John Stamos. And then the next thing I know, fucking Mark McGrath runs out skipping. I'm like, what the shit is Sugar Ray doing here? Ew, gross. Sure, and he's like, he was like the MC for it. It's like, everybody put your hands together. It's the Beach Boys. Oh, my God. And he would not stop running around and not being just so, he's like the little brother who will not stop annoying you. And then we were forced to listen to stupid Fly, I think is what it's called.
Yeah. Here's a song I co-wrote.
I co-wrote in the 90s, or sorry, the early 2000s. And it was just like, please go away. Please go away. This is not what I signed up for. God, Mark McGrath sucks. Oh, yeah. And his plastic surgery is bad. He still has his icy tips, though, for his
yes,
hair.
He does.
But John Stamos, he did wardrobe changes. He played the drums. He played guitar. He sang. He did a very nice song for Bob Saget, which I won't shit on. So
actually, that was really great, too. They showed us, like, Full House clips of, you know, just, like, you know, Uncle Jesse moments.
But should you get a chance to see Beach Boys, find out whether it's Mike Love's Beach Boys or if it's Brian Wilson. And yeah. Actually, I think Brian Wilson just tours under his own name.
Brian Eikenberger is
there
his name.
Yeah.
Brian Eikenberger, bass, backing, and lead vocals. But yeah, that was the complete savior. That guy was the complete savior of the entire show.
Yeah, without him, it would have just been like, can we leave? We're never going to get our car out of here.
Yeah, totally. I got another thing for cool shit.
Yeah?
I got an email from this company called All... Well, I don't know if it's a company, per se, but it's called All on the Line. And have you heard of them?
No.
It's basically a grassroots movement to stop gerrymandering, and they're supported by the National Redistricting Action Fund.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. I'm not quite sure how I got on their mailing list. I mean, I'm not mad at it. But I got this email from them, and it's basically like a fundraising type of email which you have to be wary of.
Right?
Don't just be handing your money out to anybody who asks for it, even if they're like, we like the same things you like. But I thought this was kind of cool, and the whole email is like, normally we would be just asking you for money and telling you why we need money and what we do, but we in this email, we'll let the vote-suppressing extremists do the talking, and then they give you a bunch of quotes from the far right, essentially, right. on redistricting and voting rights. They've got this quote by Doug Priest from Franklin County Republican Party. He's like, I guess I really actually feel we shouldn't contort the voting process to accommodate the urban voter turnout machine, meaning black people.
Right.
Paul Weirich from the Heritage Foundation says, I don't want everyone to vote.
Right.
Mitch McConnell, state Senate minority leader, says, if you look at the statistics, African-American voters are voting in just as high a percentage as Americans.
Right.
Remember that?
Right, I do remember that.
I was like, asshole. Classic. Somebody, Mark McDaniel, a North Carolina state senator, said, we are in the business of rigging elections.
They're not even trying to hide it anymore. Wow.
Republicans should look out for Republicans when drawing the lines for reapportionment.
So what has to happen in order to stop gerrymandering?
Well, what these guys are saying is these are the kinds of people that are drawing maps and making election laws.
Right.
So you have to get rid of those people.
Right.
And so that's what their mission is to try to bring about awareness, and because it's us that are voting those people in.
Right.
Because we vote party.
Right.
Republicans vote party. Like, we love our dad. He was just visiting. We tried not to talk politics too much because he is absolutely on the other end of the political spectrum than we are.
Right.
I saw the Fox News app on his phone. I was like, Dad, I think you accidentally installed this app on your phone by mistake. And he's like, you know, Trump's the best president we've ever had, in my opinion.
He stood up to China, and I'm like, how?
Yeah, we're like, no.
No, Dad. But I literally asked how. Well, he said he wasn't going to take it from him. Like, what did he do?
He imposed tariffs on China.
Which ended up raising our prices because it wasn't really, it's our farmers that had to pay for it or something like that. I remember reading a whole article about it. It was like, they're not going to pay for it. They make us pay for it.
Yeah.
The consumers.
Yeah.
Stupid moron.
Anyway, these are like, you know, good people. Your neighbors, normal people,
who are kind
to each other and looking out for
my
others.
Dad might be one of the nicest people, who most generous person,
yeah.
who's always there to help you if you need something, because that's just who he is.
And he votes Republican because that's what he does and that's what he's always done.
Right.
And honestly, it's politics is not interesting to a lot of people.
Right.
And it's not important to a lot of people. And I bet you $1 million if you were to let people know that this is happening, they wouldn't even believe you.
Right.
You know, they'd be like, that's not true. That they wouldn't, why would they do something like that? That's right. Crazy. Yeah, it is fucking crazy.
Right.
Anyway, I thought that was cool. If you guys are interested in checking it out, it's ATOL is their acronym.
ATOL?
All on the line. And okay. That seems like maybe if you have some extra spend in cash that you're not handing over to our Patreon. You know, we might actually, I think it might be kind of cool to do like another fundraising shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Or coffee,
where you can
mug
put the money towards
something.
I like that. Because I was going to say, I was like, I know this is terrible, but I'm like, I'd rather you guys give the money to them than to us, because, you know, I'd rather them get the money. But yes, well, let's do another thing. We'll make a t-shirt.
Yeah, we keep saying
give them all the money, because that's nice.
We keep saying we're going to make stuff, and then we never do, because we actually have this job, our regular jobs that pay our bills.
Right.
And our new found hobbies, in my case, tattooing, that takes up a lot of time. But I'm going to fit this shirt in, all on the line merch.
Nice. Perfect.
All right. Are you ready for some of this motherfucker?
I am.
Hey, what'd you think of that movie Prey on Hulu?
You know, I didn't hate it as much as you do, or do currently hate it. Yeah, it's a Predator movie. It was good, but was it great? No. Will I watch it again? Absolutely not.
I keep hearing from everybody. I heard from two people at work last week, oh, you gotta watch Prey.
Laurie asked me last night, our sister was like, oh, hey, did you watch Prey yet? I said, yeah, I did, actually. She's like, oh, okay, how'd you like it? I was like, it was just okay. And she's like, oh, okay, because everybody I've talked to said they absolutely love it. I was like, oh, yeah, I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, people love it. So we watched it, and, of course, our sister Tiffany, who many of our regular listeners will know from her short-lived segment.
1.5 stars.
Called 1.5 stars.
I'm pretty sure she'll call, we should call her in, squeeze it in.
We should. She fucking hated it. She gave us a laundry list of reasons why it fucking sucked, and she specifically made sure to say 1.5 stars, I hated it.
Right.
So, internet, in case you were curious, that's our Sister Tiffany's
CGI's
review.
CGI's not great. Loose on the facts. I mean, again, it's fiction, but, like, there's a lot of, well, that doesn't seem like that makes sense.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't want to get too much into it, but if you want an opposing review of Prey on Hulu, the new Predator movie, we didn't like it that much.
Yeah, not great. I'd give it 3 stars out of 10.
I'm going to represent my sister Tiffany and give it 1.5 stars.
All right. Mandy did try to get me to turn it off multiple times, and I would not.
You know what else is kind of this motherfuckering? This motherfuckery? This
okay.
motherfuckerish?
All right.
I'm a little bummed out. You know, if you guys have been with us, you know, we love our Disneyland, and we have our Disney passes, and we bought them right at the beginning when they first started offering them after COVID, which has been a year ago now, hard to believe.
Right.
And so they're about to expire, and there's no option for anybody to renew. And so I've been, like, kind of, you know, trying to Google it, trying to figure it out. What's happening? I have 15 days left of my Disneyland pass before it doesn't work anymore. I'm like, I would like to know, like, what's going to happen. And I finally found one thing today, and it was essentially Disney on their Q3 earnings call basically called the attendance mix unfavorable with the pass holders. So
that
meaning
sucks.
The pass holders are not generating enough revenue. They're not spending as much money. They're not making as much money. So the mix of people at the parks is unfavorable to games.
Right.
So I don't know if any of you guys like to listen in for our Disney, you know, stories or Disney tips and tricks or whatever's happening, but I'm a little bummed to hear about that. So they might not even renew the passes at all.
That's fucking stupid. I mean, I said it earlier. I'm like, if I have to pay $100 to go, I'm not going.
Oh, hell no. If I had to pay $100 to go into the park,
yeah,
plus lunch and whatever, fuck no.
No. Like, I paid what? I think my pass was $600, $700, something like that. I'll pay that for a year. But I'm not going to pay $100 every single time I want to go. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I pay, I got the top tier one. So I got the free parking and the 20% off merch and the 15% off dining and all the stuff. And I go probably 4 times a month, sometimes more.
Right.
And I pay $100 a month for that.
Yeah.
Which is totally worth it. If I had to pay, it's not $100 for a ticket anymore. That's one park. One ticket, $120.
Right.
If you want to go to both parks, it's like almost $200 for one day.
That's stupid.
So yeah, if they end up not renewing passes or doing something different with passes, we might not be your Disney source.
Right. Oh man, I was gonna make that whole Instagram page of Hair of Disney.
Well, we'll see. We might have a different update next week.
I hope so.
That was kind of I was kind of bummed when I read that today. I was like, oh man, no more Disney. Got to find something else to do.
Sucks. That sucks. But you know, again, this to me is a cross between cool shit and this motherfucker is, you know, the FBI raiding Trump's Mar-a-Lago thing is just. So amazing.
He's having
he has the worst week ever. You know, he pled the fifth over 400 times in his deposition for the New York about his businesses in New York. I forget exactly what it is, but it's the big lawsuit that's going through New York about his businesses and I think maybe charities too. And, you know, there's been a lot of, well, you know, if somebody's being investigated by the FBI, they shouldn't be able to run for office. And if you're being, you know, if why are you pleading the fifth if you've got nothing to hide? Only mobsters plead the fifth. And then here he is pleading the fifth.
Right.
And it's just so awesome.
Yeah, I am here for it. Like I said, I'm a little behind. I don't know exactly the details of a lot of what's going on because I haven't been paying attention because I've been hanging out with my family.
Right. Not me. Dad kept going, Charlotte, why are you on your phone? Are you even listening to me? I'm like, arguing online, Dad. I'm really busy.
I'm arguing with people I don't know on the internet.
It's my favorite. Well, Rudy Giuliani has to take an Uber. because so Rudy Giuliani was, he had a subpoena that he had to go testify in Georgia because of him being, you know, involved in trying to defraud Georgia electorates, right? Uh-huh. And he got a note from his doctor saying he couldn't fly, and the judge postponed it 2 weeks and said, I don't care if you have to get an Uber, train, bus, we expect you here by this
right.
date.
That's right.
So it's like, have fun with that, dick.
Well, maybe before we hear a word from our sponsors, we kind of alluded to the passport thing without really explaining what it is earlier in
okay,
the conversation.
Yeah.
But somebody on Twitter had posted, I should actually say who it was, the Angry Staffer.
I love the
along
Angry
with
Staffer.
Other people,
he's my favorite.
Have posted this little screenshot of Donald J. Trump from, I'm assuming, what is his social media,
Truth Social,
whatever shit he's doing. And these are his exact words. He says, wow, exclamation point. In the raid by the FBI of Mar-a-Lago, they stole my 3 passports. In parentheses, it says one expired. Along with everything else, this is an assault on a political opponent at a level never seen before in our country. Third world, exclamation point. Which just fucking makes me laugh so hard.
Well, it's so, so, so ridiculous. And, like, I've been watching a lot of Fox News. People, like, how can you keep trying to defend this? Like, it's not defendable.
Yeah.
I totally understand, you know, innocent until proven guilty, fine, whatever. But to sit there and say the FBI planted shit in his house, oh, wait, no, he declassified everything. So, you know, never mind about the planting thing. To, oh, wait, hold on, he can't declassify nuclear codes. So they did plant that. And it just the back and forth between Fox News and bending over backwards to defend him has been just very, I mean, even for Fox News, that's fucked up. Lindsey Graham also, Jim Jordan, and like all the typical January 6th people who should be going to jail themselves, all of them bending over backwards to defend him.
It's crazy. I don't get too, he keeps calling himself a political opponent or your
he's
opponent
not even,
or what. He's nothing.
He did, no, because he's supposed to be the 2024 candidate for the GOP, but he hasn't announced running for anything yet, so technically.
I thought Ron DeSantis was supposed to be
he's going to be doing it, too. And more than likely what's going to happen, because this is politicized and backed Trump so, like, it reignited all the fucking fires for the people who supported him. Not that it ever went away, I don't think, but it's just made them louder again. Now it's looking as though it'll probably be a Trump-DeSantis ticket.
That's so fucking scary.
I know.
That's so fucking scary. Oh, my God.
I mean, he's lost the popular vote twice.
Yeah. One other thing before we hear a word from our sponsors, the you know, the little like, retweet, and comment buttons that it appears as though they've just reformatted Twitter.
Oh yeah.
Onto a new platform.
Right.
So this Donald Trump message has 7,000 likes. So that's how many people are playing on Truth Social.
Right.
So with that, why don't we take a break and hear a word from our sponsors and laugh at Donald J. Trump, former president of the United States.
Traitor.
Well, hello again. I know it's been a while, but don't you worry. Your friends here at Temple Twat have been hard at work coming up with new products intended to help maintain that holy, holy ears. Today, we're so excited to introduce you to a new evolution in freshness, Temple Twat Poon Powder. Poon Powder is an innovative way to maintain that just showered freshness all day. Just a small handful of Poon Powder can keep that notorious BAG dry and smelling glamorous all day. We're not sure why Heavenly Father chose to make the bearded clam often emit the odor of a rotten tuna taco, but we're here to fix it with 3 lovely scents. Try Gardenia Gash, Magnolia Muff, or Lilac Lady Garden. And yes, we all know that talcum powder is rubbed on your genitals is a cause of ovarian cancer, but don't you worry. Thanks to tithing, the Mormon Church has enough money to hire the best attorneys to defend itself from lawsuits or pay you in the event that you win.
You won't!
So sprinkle some poo powder on that pink wrinkle and seize the day. Temple Twat, committed to keeping your hole holy.
Family Home Evening with Bad Mormons listeners get 20% off your first purchase of poon powder. Just use the promo code SisterWives at checkout. That's promo code SisterWives for 20% off your first purchase of Poon Powder.
Welcome back.
Hey, welcome back.
That sure was funny. Always love just it. A laugh.
So, story time. What do we have on the books for today?
Do you have any?
I might.
Okay. I'll tell a story. I don't think I've told this one. Again, I apologize if I have. If I could go back and start this podcast over again, I would have kept a list. And because I do have a list of stories I want to tell, but then when I'm done telling them, I just delete them. So I would have put a strike through or somewhere where I could keep track. But this is a good one, and it's actually fitting because, so, you know, we mentioned our dad was here. We saw a bunch of concerts. We went to see the Alkaline Trio play in San Diego at this outdoor credit union amphitheater thing at the college, which was a ton of fun. And it was super fun for me because it was dad had never seen Alkaline Trio. He's heard of them for the last 20 years because they've been my favorite band since forever. But I like had an Alkaline Trio shirt that I don't think he realized. It was one of the ones where if you buy this shirt, we'll donate all the money to abortion funds. So it has the big pink women's symbol on the back and the band logo on the front. So I didn't tell him what it meant, but he wore that Alkaline Trio shirt to the show and it was a ton of fun. But it reminded me of a really funny story. I have a shit ton of Alkaline Trio stories over the years, but it reminded me of a really funny one in San Francisco. And this was, this would have been towards the end of, before I moved to Hawaii, which so it would have been like 2010-ish, 9-10, something like that. And back in that was kind of like the I would say like 2000 to 2010 was like prime Alkaline Trio time, and they were really great on stage. You know, we're all older now and right. A little less energy, a little, you know, our voices kind of change or whatever, but it was prime time for Alkaline Trio. And Laurie, our sister Laurie, and I, and our executive genius creative director, huge fans of the band, and we would go and see them up and down the coast. Like, if they were doing a tour, we would get as many West Coast dates as we could. Like, one year we actually went to Vancouver, we went to Seattle, we went to Portland, we went to San Francisco, and then we came down here to Santa Ana, I think. Anyways, love the band. And so this particular story took place in the city of San Francisco. I was living there with Lisa, who's my roommate. We lived on Church Street in this neighborhood that's basically just right nestled in between the Castro and the Mission, three blocks off of Market Street. And Laurie was there visiting to see the Alkaline Trio. They were playing. They played, I forget which venue it was, Slim's, I think, something like that. But then they were playing like this kind of extra secret show at this little club called Cafe du Nord. And I'm not sure if the club is still there anymore, but it was awesome. It was this tiny little basement thing, and it was very Norwegian inspired. Like, it was just super cool. I don't know how many people you could fit in there, but I'm not exaggerating. It was probably like 200.
Okay.
It was a tiny little thing. And this event that they were putting on, you couldn't buy tickets for it. You could only, you had to have won tickets on the radio, and that was all the people they were letting in.
That's kind of cool.
Right? Well, we didn't have any tickets. We didn't know about this. We actually we heard that they were playing a show, and there was a big line outside, and it's right there in my neighborhood. And so we went up, and we're like, how are we getting into the show? We have to get into the show. Like, there's no way we're going to miss this. And so Laurie, our sister Laurie, tiny little tattooed, cute, you know, outgoing, makes friends wherever she goes. She starts talking to people in line, and 5 minutes she has a ticket. I was like, this fucking bitch. And it was me, her, and then my friend from work, Ryan. And so we ask everybody in that line. Nobody's got any extra tickets. There's nothing, you know, we can do. We tried every avenue. We tried Reddit. We tried everything.
Right.
And so I go up to the guy who's the bouncer at the door, and I was like, dude, I was like, this is my favorite band in the whole world. I was like, I'll give you $100 if you can get me in. And he kind of just looks at me silent for a minute, and he's like, how dare you? I was like, totally taken aback. I was like, what? He's like, I can't believe you would suggest that I would betray my employer like that, or something really crazy, to the point where I was like, he's got to be fucking with me.
Right.
Like, there's no way anybody would be that offended. oh no, he let me have it. He was like, absolutely, you're never getting in here. I don't, you know, you're never getting in this club ever again for the rest of your life. Right. You know, I can't remember exactly what he said. He was pissed. And I was just like, and I was like, fuck, there's no way I'm ever going to get in here tonight. I was like, I totally fucking blew it. And so the sun's still out. It's still light at this point. It's like, I don't know, 5 or 6 or something. And so, you know, Ryan and I leave and we go get burritos or something. And I'm so bummed. And Laurie's over in there in line with her new friend with her ticket.
Right.
I was like, this little fucking bitch. Can't believe it. And so we go get drunk at a bar somewhere. And the show, I remember looking at my watch going, the show's starting. The show's started now. Like, she's in there. I can't believe it. And so we're sitting there and I'm like feeling so sorry for myself, you know, drinking. And I was like, you know what, if I can't get into the show, I'm at least going to go and like hear the music.
Right.
And go, you know, at least where I can like be on the other side of the wall from the show. Right. And so I go stand in front of the venue and I'm just like hanging out and I'm just listening and I'm like kind of singing along. And it's the same bouncer out there in front of the door, just glaring me down. And I was like, don't worry. I'm just like, listen, I'm just here to listen to the music. Like I said, I love this band. And about halfway through the show, he looks at me, he's like, fuck, fine, go in.
So you were that pathetic.
I was that pathetic. And I was like literally every word to every song. And it took, I was kind of hoping that that was going to be the outcome. But yeah, at the last minute, he's like, fine, fuck, go, get out of my sight, go in. And so I just went in and I went right up to the stage and there was hardly anybody in there. Like I said, it was like, you couldn't even buy tickets to this thing.
Right.
And I found Laurie, and she was just like, you did it! And I was like, fuck yeah, I did it! And then, you know, we listened to the last, it was probably a little more than halfway that I missed.
Right.
So we listened to the last, like, 4 songs or whatever.
Nice.
And then it gets even better. So we leave the club, we go out to some more bars, and this is all, like I said, within, like, a 3-block radius of my apartment. It's right on Market and Church and Market.
Okay, yeah.
So if anybody knows the city, it's like, there's a ton of shit going on there. Lucky 13 is one of our favorite bars, and it's like 2 doors down from Cafe du Nord. So we go to Lucky 13. It's jam-packed. Lucky 13 is this punk rock bar, too, where it's like the kind of posters that I collect, like the Nine Inch Nails one,
right.
And those like Dayglow 90s rock posters that were so popular. Covered. The walls are covered in those. There's like a ton of good shit in there. And so we go get drunk, and we go out, and my friend Ryan is so wasted that we have to basically take him home and put him in bed.
Right.
And it's like, I want to say about 1 o'clock in the morning, and we're all riding this high from having gotten in the show and, you know, seeing the band in such a tiny, like, tiny little intimate setting, and it's your favorite band, and it's like the height of their popularity. And so we're like, oh, I think we can go get one more drink. We can get one more... Like, we can hit last call at Lucky 13 before the night's over. So we go back to Lucky 13. We go inside, and the place is a ghost town. There's nobody in there. There's 3 people sitting at a table in the back of the bar. And so we just kind of go up to the bar. We're, I don't know, 3 bar stools in from the front door, ordering our last drinks. And I'm facing the back of the bar, and Laurie is facing the door, and we're kind of sitting
the front door, yeah.
Yeah, we're sitting at the bar looking at each other, so she's got a view of the front door, and all of a sudden she just stops talking and her face goes white, and she, like she's seen a ghost. And I was like, what's going on? She's like, Matt Skiba just walked in the bar. Matt Skiba is the lead singer of the Alkaline Trio, or the co-lead singer. And I was like, fuck off. And I turn around, and sure enough, he walks into the bar, and I was just like, I don't know what came over me, but I just, like, we watched him walk past. Both of us, our heads turned at the exact same time as he's walking past. Embarrassing, I know. And I just get up from my seat. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm luckily very toasted. Right. And have a lot of liquid courage. And so I get up from my seat, and I just walk over to him, and I was like, oh, my God, we just saw your show at Cafe du Nord. It was so awesome. Like, I love your band so much. And he just smiled, and he gave me this big hug.
Oh, that's nice.
And he's like, thank you so much. And I was like, is this fucking happening right now? And then Laurie, of course, comes right over, and she's like, well, I love your band, too. And he's like, oh, thank you guys so much. Gives her a hug, and she's like, can we buy you a drink? And he's like, oh, you don't have to do that. And she's like, no, do you want to take a shot with us? And he's like, sure, I'll take a shot with you. So she orders Patron. And he's like, no, really, you don't have to buy me shots of Patron. Like, it's okay. And she's like, no,
my honor.
You're Matt Skiba. Like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? So we all do shots together. And it was super unreal.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was super cool. And then he, you know, I don't know who he was with back there, his friends that were back there, and they got up and left, and they walked, you know, basically towards my apartment. We just kind of like went to the door and watched him walk away, and I was like, holy shit. I'm never going to forget this moment as long as I live.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was super cool.
Yeah, Laurie, I had tickets to go see Modest Mouse, and there was a sold-out show at Anaheim House of Blues. She found a ticket within seconds.
She's really good at that.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember when we were down here, I forget what it was for, but they were doing something at the studio in Burbank, and you could win tickets on the radio to, like, go see this little intimate thing with them. It was, like, probably 30 people.
I remember the pictures.
Yeah, because Laurie fucking got into it somehow. She was, like, up on Reddit all night long trying to find somebody who could get her in, had an extra ticket. And I don't know what she did, but she never came to bed, and she sure as shit got into that thing.
Right.
And the worst part about that was she was like, you know what? Nobody was even checking IDs or anything. Like, you could have totally just walked in, because we were out waiting in the car for her.
Right. While and she there went were in cell there. Phones. She couldn't say, get in here now.
I don't think so. For whatever reason, yeah.
Right.
We were incommunicado, but yeah, that little bitch. This episode should be dedicated to what a little bitch Laurie is.
I was thinking about your bouncer person, though, and just being so indignant. How dare you?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, when I worked at the Beaver in Washington, my job was the door person. So if you were too drunk, I wouldn't let you in. If you were causing shit. I use the word bouncer very loosely, because who the hell am I going to... I mean, I definitely didn't let people in, but if I needed to remove you, I just... turn to our bartender, Don. Said, Don, make this person leave. But my job was to take away fake IDs, and I fucking loved that job so much. You'd get some that would come in, it would just like have a, you know, it looked pretty legit, but some you'd bend and they would just bend in half. You're like, I'll be keeping this, thank you. Some were like, they bent well, but the hologram was a padlock. And you're like, okay, gonna be keeping that, thank you. And some of them were really, really good. And every now and again, you'd get somebody be like, I'll give you $50, like, if you give it back. Because it's known in Bellingham that you do not go to these two bars in town, you do not go to them with a fake ID, because you will get it confiscated and you will not get it back. And it was the Up and Up and the Beaver. And, because I got $10 for every ID I snagged, also ruining your day made me happy. So I was all about it. But there was this one that was, you know, some of them were getting better than others. But this one was a California ID, and I'm from California, so I know what the IDs look like. And the bend was perfect, the weight was perfect, hologram was perfect. And then I throw it under the UV light, and there's no UV light, and I'm like, oh, ouch. And she's just like, what? And I was like, oh, you must have paid a lot of money for this, because it's really good. Is it the UV light thing? It got ran over by a car and just stopped working. I'm like, yeah, that's not how ink works. But I'm going to keep this. And what it would be, like, some people would just like, no, you can't, it's my ID. You know, they would always be like, it's my ID, you can't just keep my ID. I was like, so here's the deal. I don't think it's real. I legally cannot give it back to you. What I can do, though, is call a police officer over, and I can give it to them, and they can give it back to you. Would you like to wait? No? Okay, have a good night. Bye. I was a monster.
That sucks.
For them.
What happened with that one?
That one, it was fake. I kept it.
Yeah, she didn't want to wait for them.
Nope. None of them do. No, and again, you're not going to, because then you're going to get in charge, or, you know, get in trouble for having a fake ID, right?
Is she the one who offered you money to give it back?
She actually did not.
Oh.
I've had people offer me $20, people offer me $50, but I will say this, that was the beginning. I worked at the Beaver for maybe a year and a half, 2 years, something like that, and by the end of the 2 years, I could give a shit. Why, nobody was offering me money anymore. I'm like, you don't want to give me money to get this back? No, okay. I'll keep it. I get my $10. But I probably would have just get... For $50, I'd give it back. I'd turn a blind eye. Yeah, it's weird. Weird how that works. But yeah, I liked that job a lot. It was very funny.
Sounds perfect for you.
It was. And I got to sit and read. Mm-hmm. And like in between, I'd be like, didn't you just leave? You want to go smoke and come back? No, we had a stamp for that. But yeah, no, it was great.
That's where the Harlequin novels, the Momoquin novels were born.
That's right, because I read all the books that I had, and so I told everybody for Christmas, it's like, can you guys give me books for Christmas? Because I'm running out of books to read at my job, because I work Fridays and Saturdays. And then sure enough, Courtney, our creative director, genius, I guess they were 25 cents a piece, bought me a shit ton of Harlequin novels.
10 cents a piece.
I put paper bags, like book covers around them, so people wouldn't see what I was reading, because that's embarrassing.
That's another thing we have to get back onto is our Mama Quinn novels.
Yeah.
So many started and unfinished projects with this podcast, Charlotte.
Right? We've got great ideas, just shit for follow through.
Yeah, you know what? We kind of have shit for reviews on Apple Podcasts too. So if you guys could head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a rating and a review, we sure would appreciate it.
We're on all the social medias: Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter.
You could become a patron for as little as $3 a month and join people, cool people like our friend Susan.
Thanks, Susan. You can like, subscribe, and share our YouTube channel.
You could check out our official merch, which we have on our TeePublic site, which is on our link tree, which you can find on all of our social medias.
And we've had a few pretty awesome stories sent in to us, but we need more. Send us any funny stories that you have, either being drunk and stupid, going to awesome shows. Maybe you got to go meet Matt Skiba once at FAGBadMormons@gmail.com.
Don't forget to be excellent to each other, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.